presenting a study that is not yet done, but it's being done in pieces. When it is done, maybe future pieces can be found on my website. Right here, I have a crisis intervention page, and so you'll be able to find it when it's finished on the crisis intervention page. I'm going to try to talk about the current crisis in relationship to the falling tendency of the rate of profit as analyzed by Marx, his concept of the destruction of capital, and the whole notion of bubbles. What is standing in the way of just going ahead and doing that is that the Marxist economists have maintained that the crisis has nothing to do with the falling rate of profit tendency. Fred Moseley has recently written that the main problem in the current crisis is the financial sector. The current crisis is more of a Minsky crisis than a Marx crisis. There has been a very substantial and probably almost complete recovery of the rate of profit in the U.S. So if the rate of profit has just been going up and up and up since the early 80s, it can't be responsible for the crisis. Similarly, Gérard Dumanil and Dominique Levy, a few years earlier, wrote that the recovery of the profit rate in the United States appears nearly complete within the entire corporate sector. So in light of this, it should be no surprise that evidently at the last Historic Materialism Conference in London, Dumanil, quote, mocked the idea that the profit rate had to be behind the crisis. He thought the crisis was of financial origin and that the profit rate had been relatively steady and had little to do with it. The same report states that Kostas Lapavitsis of SOAS, another well-known Marxist economist, was, quote, almost also dismissive of the profit rate line. So I think it's very weird to separate, you know, falling rate of profit from financial crisis. But why do these folks do this? I think there are basically two factors going on. The first is that they cherry pick the data. Here's a sine wave. It's completely trendless. But if you pick points A and B, you can say we've had a rise in the rate of profit. If you pick cherries B and C, you can say we've had a fall in the rate of profit. It's as simple as that. I could go on, but they cherry pick the data when they decide to discuss what the trends have been. That's one factor. The other reason that they say that the rate of profit is strongly recovered is that they value the denominator of the rate of profit, the capital advanced, at its replacement cost, or so-called that should be current cost. That's a mistake. That constant should be current cost. Okay, it's current cost or replacement cost, rather than the actual historical cost or the actual cost of acquiring the capital goods when they were acquired. Net of depreciation. So as this picture looks at, it uses official Bureau of Economic Analysis data. All of my data are from there. I don't doctor them at all here. You see that since 1982, the historical cost rate of profit kind of goes up, but that's not a real boom. There's not a sustained recovery of the rate of profit. Pre-tax profit as a percentage of the cost of the fixed assets. Okay, but there is a sustained recovery of the current cost or replacement cost rate of profit. So if you compare, no cherry picking, trough to trough, 1982 to 2001, there's a 37% rise in the current cost rate of profit. So a combination of cherry picking and using this so-called current cost replacement cost profit rate gives them the conclusion that the rate of profit is recovered and it has nothing to do with the crisis that we're in. Now, the first thing I just want to say is then that the ratio of the current cost to the historical cost rate of profit has been very variable, and so this issue of historical cost versus replacement cost or current cost measurement matters empirically. It matters a lot. Simultaneous Marxist economists have tended to say, well, nothing, you know, and then they tend to say it doesn't matter empirically. It matters a lot empirically. From 1981 to 2002, the ratio rises by 51%. And okay, what happens is in a period of accelerating inflation, the current cost and replacement cost rate of profit falls relative to the actual profit on the funds committed. In period of decelerating inflation, just the opposite. So there's a, I believe, false impression made in a period of accelerating, excuse me, in a period of decelerating inflation, in a period of disinflation, there's a false impression given that profitability is improving when it is in fact not. Okay, so a choice has to be made. Now, mainstream Marxist and trough economists have used this replacement cost or current cost rate of profit to assess movements in profitability now for nearly a half century, at least since Occhio, 1961. I've always been asked, is it really the case that they have all just been guilty of a simple outright error? My answer is yes. It's just a plain error. The so-called current cost, replacement cost, rate of profit isn't. It's not a rate of profit in any normal sense of the term. It might measure something, but it's not the way any capitalist, any investor would ever measure profitability unless they expected costs, prices never to change. I can say more, but got to move on here. Okay, so I'm going to be looking at, in terms of this explanation, the historical cost rate of profit, and the main measure I'm going to be using is the before-tax profits of U.S. corporations divided by the historical cost of their fixed assets. And that's just it. No doctoring of the data. This is the series from the beginning of the data, 1929, to the last year we have at present, 2007, where we see the beginning of a new Kondratiev wave of capitalist expansion. That's a joke. Okay. So what we see is in the post-World War, actually from the end of the Great Depression into the 1940s, we have a boom, a consistent decline of the rate of profit, broken up a bit by the inflation of the 70s, and then further decline and no long-run recovery since then. Now, why is this? Well, first of all, this is not mostly a matter of distribution. Okay, there's the same rate of profit in green, and the blue is what the rate of profit would have been were there a constant wage share. It's not wages, it's actually employee compensation. But if employee compensation were a constant share of the value added of U.S. corporations, we would have had the blue. So it changes things a little bit, but not substantially. And notice that it's the opposite of what people would expect. We've been hearing a lot about increasing exploitation, this and that, tending to boost the rate of profit. But if there had been a constant wage share, the rate of profit would have actually been higher. Okay, so the wage share has actually gone up a bit. Okay, that doesn't mean that workers are doing well. What it means is that the value added of corporations, the rate of growth has fallen markedly. Okay, so there are problems with the, you know, standard of living in the working class, but they're not rooted in distribution. They're rooted in the system of capitalist production. Also, distribution is a fairly minor matter here because if you change the numerator from the pre-tax profits of corporations and you use all of what's called the net operating surplus, which includes other non-labor income like interest payments, you see basically the same story, but more of just a consistent fall downward. But clearly there's no recovery in the rate of profit since the early 80s to now. Just another further indication of the robustness of these results. The measures that I've been showing you have in the denominator the fixed assets. Some people like to include so-called inventories, which is raw materials, work in progress, and so forth in the denominator. If you do that, that's what you would get, the teal. Okay, and here you see a very, this is, I think that's 1982 right there. That's 2001. From trough to trough, you see a very slight recovery of about 11% or one percentage point in the rate of profit, including inventories. But clearly, that's not a real recovery of the rate of profit and of the type that Dumanil, Mosley, and others are talking about. Okay. So this decline in the rate of profit and failure of it to recover in any sustained fashion, as long as we're talking about U.S. corporations, that's a pretty robust result. Okay. Now I'm going to go into some theory to try to account for the crisis, having established that it might have something to do with the rate of profit. Okay, so first a short thumbnail sketch. The rate of profit heads towards the incremental rate of profit, which I could call the marginal if it didn't give people a heart attack, but any economist understands that idea. Okay, so at the start of a new boom, the rate of profit starts off well above the incremental rate, so therefore it has a tendency to fall over time. Simple matter of mathematics here. Okay, now this situation persists unless there's sufficient destruction of capital, liquidation of claims on future wealth, and so forth. The destruction of capital, however, restores profitability, ushers in a new boom, so we start the cycle once again, and this is what happened in the Great Depression and World War II, I would believe. Okay, but to continue, in the crises of the 70s and early 80s, there was not sufficient destruction of capital, such as occurred in the Great Depression and World War II. Rather than a depression and a subsequent boom, policymakers have obviously tried to prevent that. They've continually encouraged the excessive expansion of debt. The excessive expansion of debt does boost profitability and economic growth, but not in a sustainable manner, and so it leads to repeated debt crises. A lot of this should now be familiar. The present crisis is the most serious and acute of these. And what's happening now in the present crisis is that policymakers are responding again by papering over bad debts with more debt, this time to an unprecedented degree. So the policy implication that flows from this is if they succeed in getting out of the current crisis by papering over debt with more debt, they're just laying the ground for future crises of this sort. Absent the sufficient destruction of capital, profitability cannot be restored to usher in a new boom in the manner of the boom that followed the Great Depression and World War II. Now, what I'm going to do is try to flesh this out in whatever time remains.
7 minutes.
7 minutes. Okay. Now, I said that the rate of profit tends toward the incremental rate of profit or the marginal rate of profit. Let's look at this, first of all, in terms of labor time instead of money. S is surplus labor. C is the capital advance. The rate of profit in terms of labor time is S over C. The incremental labor rate of profit is the ratio of the changes. And also, to abstract from distributional issues, which are just really a complication here, not hugely important, I've assumed that the percentage change in the surplus labor is equal to the percentage change in employment. Okay, so that incremental rate of profit, the ratio of the changes, is like that throughout the period from 47 to 2007. These are five-year centered moving averages. So it's actually more volatile, but this is what it looks like smoothed out. And it's very important that this is trendless. Okay, this is not the average, it's the actual trend line. Okay, basically, this has been about 4% throughout an entire 61-year period. So this is essentially looking systemically in the system as a whole. That's the rate of profit on new investment. Doesn't mean if you make a new investment, you get that rate of profit. It means that you might be getting higher rate of profit, but you're pulling it from somebody else. But that's the rate of profit on new investment. So that's the rate of profit in terms of labor time. That's the rate of profit that the system tends to, absent a couple of other factors that I'm about to discuss. Okay, so you look at this and you say, well, how can there be a falling rate of profit? Well, the answer is because of the destruction of capital, there's a boom prior to that point, and so the actual rate of profit starts off higher and it tends to trend downward. Okay, so what are the determinants of this incremental rate of profit, which has been just basically about 4%? Four things. The rate of growth of employment, which is held down by labor-saving technical progress, and in Marx's theory is the source of all value and surplus value. Secondly, the share of profit or surplus value that is reinvested. And that is what is captured right here. There are two other factors as well that influence the incremental rate of profit. One is the relationship between profit and wages. I've abstracted from that. And also, for purposes of this analysis, I'm abstracting from the rise in money prices above the real values of commodities, just for the moment, or holding the melt constant. Okay. So we've got the incremental rate of profit. Then this is the labor rate of profit, the actual one, the orange. That's what the rate of profit would be were prices equal to values. If money prices did not continually rise above the real values of commodities, that's what the rate of profit would be. I just took all of the terms in money and multiplied them by the ratio of employment to GDP. And that's how I got that. Okay. So what we get is a fall in the actual rate of profit over time due to just the sinking of this level of the actual rate down to the incremental rate. Then we get the fact that prices do rise above commodities' real values. Okay, and that's the money rate of profit, the one we've been looking at before. Okay. There is a continual gap, and it's a big gap, between the labor rate of profit, if prices equal values, and the actual money rate of profit. There's a big gap because of prices rising above values. But here we're talking about a trend. The trend is essentially the same. In other words, there's a more or less constant rate of increase of prices relative to values, and that creates more or less a constant gap between these two rates, such that when the labor rate of profit falls with a constant gap, more or less the money rate of profit falls as well, except for the period of high inflation in the 70s, followed by the disinflation of the early 80s, which made the gap fall a little bit. So basically, it's this basic tendency of the rate of profit to fall towards the long-run incremental rate that has brought the whole thing down. How much time do I have?
You now have, I would say, 3 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is not meant to be a causal explanation. I am not trying to produce a Marxian rate of profit in contradistinction to the observed rate of profit. I don't agree with that methodology at all. What I'm simply trying to do is to decompose this money rate of profit into various parts. The incremental labor, the actual labor, the rise of money prices over values. Okay, I don't participate in this discussion of what is the Marxian rate of profit. I don't see any utility in that at all, and I'm a utility theorist, of course. Okay. Okay, so my next point in the historical sketch was that the tendency of the rate of profit to fall to its long-run level persists without sufficient destruction of capital. This is a key concept of Marx's theory of capitalist crisis. By destruction of capital, he meant not only the physical destruction of capital assets, but also and especially of the value of capital assets, including claims on future cash flow. So in an economic slump, machines and buildings go idle and rust and deteriorate. That's one thing. But also debts go unpaid, asset prices fall, and so forth. So the value of physical and financial assets is destroyed. But the same destruction of capital assets in value terms and physically is the mechanism that leads to the next boom, the key one. For instance, if a business can generate $3 million in profit annually, but the value of the capital invested is 100, the rate of profit is only 3 over 100 or 3%. But if the destruction of capital occurs and those assets are now worth not 100 but 10, the rate of profit for new owners that acquire the business is 3, not over 100 but 3 over 10, a rate of profit of not 3% but 30%. And that's a tremendous spur to a new boom. And I think that this is what led to the post-war boom after the destruction of capital in the Depression and World War II. But again, let me just look at this a bit here in terms of how this was understood outside of Marxist circles. According to President of U.S. Herbert Hoover, His Secretary of the Treasury, Andrew Mellon, had only one formula. He didn't talk about destruction of capital, he talked about liquidation. So what Mellon said was, liquidate labor. Oops. Okay, liquidate stocks, liquidate the farmers, liquidate real estate. This is the destruction of capital, and it was being proposed as a conscious policy by Mellon. According to Hoover, Mellon said, even a panic in the financial sector was not altogether a bad thing. He said it will purge the rottenness out of the system. So people have understood that this is the engine of regeneration of capitalism. The problem is, and you know, all of the conservative economists said this, the problem is they didn't think that the correction would be so bad. But since the Great Depression, they've been very reticent to try to like let that happen again and have a repeat of the Great Depression. But if you don't have a purging of all the, you know, unrealizable paper claims out of the system, you're not going to have a real boom. So they get these continual crises because they can't restore profitability. They keep papering over debt with more debt. They keep getting bubbles and crises. And now it's gotten to the point of, well, wherever it is at right now. So this explanation that I'm trying to give here does not say the rate of profit fell, then we had a crisis. Okay, it's not a mechanical causal explanation like that. What I'm trying to say is that there have been no conditions for sustained recovery over the past quarter century. There have been a lot of problems that they've tried to manage as a result of that, and they've done so by means of debt expansion, and we know about that, and that has led to the current problems.
Thank you very much. Okay, now.